Good morning. The Lord be with you. Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. Good to be with you this morning for worship. It is the fourth Sunday of Advent. We're following the order of service as it is printed before you. Our opening hymn this morning is "I Wonder as I Wander." That's printed right in your worship bulletin. I invite you to please stand. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The Sun of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out, leaping like calves from the stall. We proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, For the well-being of the Church of God and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. God our Father, send forth your Spirit, so we shine like the brightness of the sky and like the stars forever and ever, announcing your merciful might and your free gift of righteousness to the world, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, ever one God, now and forever. Amen. Please have a seat. Let's join together in singing hymn number 64.
First reading is from Daniel, chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes will sleep in the dust of the earth, will awake. Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. In a world where so many are sorrowful, our faith has us looking to the one who is joy to the world, our Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
Second reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 42 through 49. So will it be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable, it is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth. The second man is of heaven. As was the earthly man, so are those who are of the earth. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the image of the earthly man, so shall we bear the image of the heavenly man. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia. Alleluia.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew, the 13th chapter, verses 36 through 43.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parable of the weeds in the field." He answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom. The weeds are the people of the evil one, and the enemy who sows them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out his kingdom, everything that causes sin, and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Having heard God's word, we confess our faith together now in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, was buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please have a seat. Join together in singing hymn number 24.
To God.
Hey, dear friends in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text that I chose for the sermon this morning is taken from St. John's Gospel, the 14th chapter, verse 27, which I'll read for you in just a little while. There once was this woman, and she was aboard a plane on her way to Cleveland. Now, as you can expect, when you get on the plane, it doesn't just right away take off. You usually sit for quite a while on the plane until the pilot gets the thumbs up from the flight control. It says, "All right, you're clear to taxi." So you have a lot of time when you're sitting there, I suppose, to just kind of ponder things. Well, here this woman was, and she was sitting on the plane, and as she settled into her seat, she noticed this sort of strange phenomenon. See, on one side of the airplane, there was this sunset, beautiful, beautiful sunset, that just filled the entire sky on that side. It's glorious in color, unbelievable, breathtaking, really. But then on the other side of the plane, out the window to the seat next to her, all she could see was this dark and threatening kind of sky. You see, on that side of the plane, there was no sign at all of a sunset. Well, as the plane's engines began to roar, as the pilot was given the okay to start making his way to the runway, there was this gentle voice that sort of spoke within her. You know, the Bible talks about that still, small voice. Well, there was this voice that just kind of was working in her mind a little bit. "You've noticed the windows," the voice in her mind murmured beneath the roar of the thrust of the engines. "Your life, too, will contain some happy and beautiful times, but also some dark shadows. Here's a lesson I want to teach you to save you a whole bunch of heartache, to allow you to abide in me with continual peace and joy." You see, it doesn't matter which window you look through. This plane is still going to Cleveland. So it is with your life. You have a choice. You can dwell on the gloomy picture, or you can focus on the blessings. You can focus on the bright things and leave those dark situations to me. You see, I alone can handle them anyway. And with me, your life is always in good hands. With me, there's always light. And by the way, with me, you're sure to reach your final destination, too. With me, there's a peace. And that peace surpasses all understanding. Always. You know something? How you and I long for peace, don't we? And being real, as we read the newspaper, as we watch the news and see all the unrest that can be around us at times, people at arms over difference of opinions for whatever reason, political, I don't know, whatever. As we see violence, as we see the effects that drugs have on our society, as we see hardship of others, or even consider our own struggles, how at times we long for peace. And maybe there's even times where we wonder if it's even possible. Now our faith tells us that it's a sure and certain thing. In this season of Christmas, of course, as we're moving into it now, I understand we're in Advent, but as we're moving towards Christmas, this season reminds us once again of the angels' declarations. Remember when they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he's well pleased. And then, of course, if it wasn't the angel's announcements, Jesus himself. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Don't let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And yet, how our world, how our lives at times can seem broken, maybe even a bit peaceless, and how our minds can wander and wander from God in those times. See, that peace that he assured us, how that sin side of us, how the devil wants us believing that it's a promise unkept, just a dream. But you know something, friends? Nothing could be further from the truth. You know, I think that it's easy sometimes to associate peace with the end of unrest. You know, only bright and beautiful sunsets, no darkness, no clouds. Life as we want it to be. But maybe, just maybe, peace is much deeper than that. I mean, let's face it, it has to be. Maybe to know peace is actually to know grace. You see, I think those two words can be used interchangeably, almost synonymous. To know peace is to know grace, and to know grace, of course, is to know Christ. And you see, there is no real peace without grace, then. And friends, this peace that Christ gives to you and me is different than what the world has to offer. It's different than how the world defines peace. The peace that Christ gives to you and me is just that. It's given. It's a gift. It can't be taken away by the hardships or the unrest. It's not some victory won on our part because we've been good or fought battles successfully. Peace is given graciously, charitably to you and me. It's given to you and me by the one who took flesh to declare peace to a longing world through the angel's announcement. It's given to you and me by the one who battled for us, who died on a cross for us. By the one who secured that peace forever in victory when he rose. It's literally a peace that knows no end. You see, peace is ours. It just takes understanding it a little differently. Peace isn't the absence of trouble. Peace is the presence of Jesus, who in the good times and in the hard times, in the sunsets and in the storms, leads us, guides us by his grace, his love, and his strong and mighty presence. To know Jesus and the peace that he offers to you and me is to be forgiven, to be reconciled, to be restored, to be connected to him. And to know with such a certainty that there is nothing at all that can separate us from his love. To know peace is to know loving community too. To be surrounded by people just like this place. To be surrounded by people who affirm us, who build us up, who cheer us in the good times and support us in those times when things aren't so easy. To be comforted. To have a place to turn. To know that we are never, ever alone. And to know this peace that Christ gives to you and me is to be filled with hope. Right here, right now, and all the way into eternity. And that, friends, is a peace that surpasses all human understanding. This Advent and this Christmas season reminds us that in the midst of suffering, in the midst of unrest, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of uncertainty, peace isn't absent. As a matter of fact, that's the very setting that the dear Christ child entered in. And it's in that same kind of setting that he too comes to us to comfort us, to assure us. My friends, peace has come just as God has promised. For unto you is born in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And there is peace that knows no end. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. I invite you to please stand. Let's join together in speaking the offertory. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. In addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin, please say a special word of prayer for Betty Cavalieri's sister, Connie, who's having significant back issues. Say a special word of prayer for Mary Warner's son-in-law, Tom, who's recovering from surgery this past week. For Becky Warner's mom, Becky is Mary Warner's daughter-in-law. But anyway, Becky's mom, Barb, is receiving cancer treatment, so please keep Barb in your prayers. Darlene Vogel's friend Doris, who's hospitalized, say a special word of prayer for Betty Cavalieri. I thought I saw Betty here today. Is she in the back? Yeah, she's in the back. She had a fight with the parking lot this past week. Don't be fooled. The parking lot didn't win. Betty did, but she sustained a little injury. So please keep Betty in your prayers. This week as she recovers from her injury. We say a word of prayer for Pam Bloom as she mourns the loss of her dear friend this past week. For Darlene Schwenk's friend Barb, who's having complications after hip surgery. And last but not least, if you would, say a special word of prayer for Lois. Lois is here this morning, but Lois is fighting some really, really nasty respiratory stuff, hurting today. So on top of her foot injury, she's got the respiratory stuff going on now. So please just keep Lois in your prayers that that she might recover and do well in her time of need. We pray. Lord, you have taught us to pray and encouraged us to open our hearts to you on behalf of ourselves and all those in need. Hear us now as we come to you in Jesus' name. You established the earth and the heavens, O Lord, and created us to exercise dominion over all that you made. Grant to us wisdom to know and to rejoice in the orders you have established on earth, so that we might be restored to this purpose in Christ and fulfill all the responsibilities that you have assigned us to do in your name. Lord, in your mercy, you have set in place the times and the seasons, O Lord. Reveal in them the salvation promised to us in your Son. Give us faith that we may ask for no sign except Christ, whose death and resurrection fulfill all the promises of your word, and vindicate the prophets who spoke that word by your command. Lord, in your mercy, you have kept your word and delivered to us your Son by the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary. Guide us so that we may rejoice in the word made flesh and the redemption he has won by his holy life, life-giving death and resurrection. Bless all pastors that they may faithfully preach and teach this gospel. Open the hearts of young men to hear and heed your call to ministry. Bless all church workers in their various vocations, that they may serve us well in your name. Lord, in your mercy, you have granted many gifts and skills to your people, O Lord, that they may serve us when we are most weak and vulnerable. Be with the police who protect us, the firefighters who serve us, those who employ all medical arts to relieve suffering and aid healing, and the counselors who assist those troubled in mind or heart. Bless every effort on behalf of those who endure man-made or natural disasters. Lord, in your mercy, you are the giver of every good gift, O Lord, and you care for us in all our need of body, mind, and spirit. Give healing to the sick, relief to the suffering, peace to the dying, and comfort to those who mourn. We pray this morning especially for Connie and for Tom, for Barb, for Doris, for Betty, for Pam, for Barb, for Lois. We pray for all of those who are printed in our worship bulletin, our friends, our family members, and anybody else that we name before you in our hearts. According to your gracious will, sustain them all by your grace and give them patience and courage as they await the unfolding of your healing grace. Lord, in your mercy, you know our weakness and how we struggle with temptation, O Lord. Give us discerning minds and steadfast hearts that we may rejoice in the annual celebration of your Son's birth. Keep us from being distracted from the gift of your Son, and teach us to highly treasure the mystery of his incarnation and the fruits of his redemptive work. Lord, in your mercy, into your hands, O Lord, we commend ourselves and all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy to provide us all things as we have need. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. We pray together now as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. My friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have a seat. Good morning. Good to be with you. Good to worship with you. Very, very special word of welcome to some guests and visitors who are here with us this morning. Not to put attention on two individuals who are here, but I'm going to anyway. Old friends of Jenny and I go back to my vicarage year in Waterloo, Ontario. Andrew and Lisa Jackson. So Lisa is the daughter to the pastor that was my boss for that year. They're in visiting and had coffee shipped to my old house, and my brother gave it away. And that, So Andrew calls and he says, "Hey, do you mind if I have something, coffee shipped?" "Of course, no problem at all." A day later, I think it was, you called me up and you said, "Hey, we just realized we sent it to your old address." "Oh, no problem. My brother lives there." My brother's down in Mexico, so I can't get in touch with him, right? So he gets home, day after he gets home, the morning after he gets home. Flight came in at like 1 in the morning, called him first thing the next when he's home. And I go, "Hey, did you get a package at the house?" No. "Are you sure? It says it was delivered." Oh, do you mean like a package with like 10 bags of coffee in it?" "Yep." "Oh yeah, I don't know whose it was, so I gave it away. You what? So then I got to explain, because these are Christmas gifts. It's coffee from Nicaragua. Right? So they're Christmas gifts. So now I got to, like with the dog, the tail between my leg, over a cell phone, I'm, Andrew? Fortunately, we got it back. But anyway, they're in town to pick up coffee and blessed us with their presence here this morning. So good to see you guys. You haven't changed at all. You know, but with Facebook now, you keep up on people. So, but yeah, it's... It did. Yeah, so when we were in Waterloo, we had Brandon. Brandon spent the first year, I was assigned to the church, a redeemer, it would have been the end of the seminary year. We were scheduled to report, I think it was about mid-August, Brandon was born August 27th of that year. So he spent the first year of his life in Waterloo, at the church in Waterloo, and what a remarkable place for him to be able to spend the first year. Redeemer reminded me a lot of this place in a lot of ways. Just a very, very loving community, family. You know, I never forgot. I was drawn to tears the day I had to leave at the church. It was just a lasting impression. In 11 years now in the holy ministry, I look back and just the impact that your congregation had on me, your dad as my boss for that year, how so much of what he taught me has shaped my ministry still to this day. So just remarkable. So thanks for being here today. I have an hour time slot on the radio. We're on the air right now that I have to fill, and it's only 9:23. So I'm really dragging this out, making it sound really good right now. But anyway, good to have you guys. I'll have you talk downstairs. Is that okay? Bible study? Okay, good. All right. Announcement stuff. Here we go. Christmas. We're moving. This coming week, we have a number of services that are available for you. Christmas Eve, three services, 4:30 service. That's the traditional candlelight, but it'll be led by members of the band. And then we come back together at 7:15 for a hymn sing, 7:30 worship service, traditional candlelight, choir, all that good stuff. That service, the 7:30 service, is also a live broadcast. All right, so we need lots of you here, so it sounds really good over the radio. So 7:30 is a live broadcast, and then we'll be back here again at 10 p.m. For the candlelight worship service with Holy Communion. Christmas Day, there's a service at 10 a.m., and that service is also a service of Holy Communion. December 26th. There is no service, and I'm not here. I'm taking a week off, so I'm going to be out of here for the week after that following Sunday. Rod is going to be covering worship services for me, so that's kind of what's happening there. All right, that's the lineup of services. Our 2020 offering envelopes are now available for you. They're out in the back of the church. So if you want to grab your envelopes, make sure you grab those before you go. But please also make sure that you keep in mind that they are for 2020, so please do not start using them until January, all right? Numbers should not have changed. Your offering numbers should not have changed. But either way, please do not use those envelopes until January, all right? The only other thing I guess I'll mention to you, just to keep you up to speed, because folks ask me, and it's just easier for me to do it this way than to have to explain it out 50, 60 times. So I did receive the results back for my MRI this past week. Basically, as it was explained to me, is I have three discs that are in my neck that are just completely shot. They're pancaked. There's arthritis, there's degeneration that's happening, bone spurs, whatever. So that's kind of what's going on inside of my neck. I have no idea how it happened. I don't, I I don't know. I'm not, as you can see, I am not a laborer. I labor at buffets, but no, I'm just kidding. I don't know. I think, honestly, I think it is a it's a genetic thing. It's something that my mother has had and other folks in the family have had. So at this point, thank God, the chiropractor has helped me out unbelievably. So the pain that I experienced when this kind of triggered has not come back, but there still is numbness and tingling and loss of strength in this hand. What they're recommending at this point is to go the route of physical therapy, do that for about 6 to 8 weeks. If there's some resolve with that, that's great. If not, or if things worsen, then what they'll do is I guess they can go in and kind of drill. Basically, the neurosurgeon said it's like Roto-Rooter. They'll go in and just open up that hole that the nerves kind of run through, which is what's causing a lot of the problems that I have. So anyway,
Meantime, steps in
that. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So anyway, it's just easier for me to do it this way, get it out of the way, and then I don't have to, you know what I mean? I don't like to do it this way, but it's just the easiest way for me. Then I don't have to say it a bunch of times. So that's kind of where things are at with that. All right? So thank you for your prayers. I do appreciate all your prayers, and thank God for my chiropractor and all those good people who are helping me out to keep heat. Yeah, all the time. Yep. Yeah, it is. It's good. So, all right. Guess what? 9:28. That's good. Yeah, Sherry, go ahead. Yep, thank you. And that was the announcement that I forgot. See, Sherry, thanks for having my back. Journals are available out there for you. So, yes, make sure you grab your journal. Colleen. Yep. There it is. Yeah. So you're more than welcome to stick around downstairs. If you want to join us for Bible study, there's also obviously coffee and all that good stuff. You're more than welcome to stick around and see these kids. They put a lot of hard work into the pageant. And, I mean, could you imagine two church services in one day? Imagine the points that you get for heaven. Oh, that's very un-Lutheran. So anyway. All right, that's it. Have a blessed week, everyone. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Thank you, sir. How you doing, kid?